Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Elevated Places Network. Tonight we present our Thursday night program, and of course we are in our 10th year of broadcasting from blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. This is Ask Minister Ava with myself, Ava Muhammad, my illustrious co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, our executive producer, Sister Rona Muhammad, and our legal contributor, the brilliant attorney, Sister Pamela Muhammad. On behalf of the Elevated Places team, I welcome each and every one of you. Those of you who have logged in at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces, and those of you who have called in, 563-999-3065, and as usual, we are moving close to filling up our board for call-ins, but we can always, you can always reach us by logging in, as this is an internet program, so we have unlimited space for those who want to listen in on the program. Tonight is a very special evening. It is a bittersweet evening. In that we will be hearing shortly from a brother who has really, though he is so humble, he would never probably see this of himself, but we see it. He's a legend in his own right, and I'm speaking of the general manager of the world's greatest and the world's truly, only truly complete, fully independent Black newspaper, The Final Call. And I'm speaking of our beloved brother, Abdul Rasul Muhammad, who is here to honor and help us pay tribute to our brother, Damon Muhammad, we'll talk about Brother Damon shortly as Brother Abdul Rasul Muhammad comes on to give us some wonderful, wonderful narratives about this brother and his incredible life. And later in the program, land developer Brother Louis Ali Muhammad is going to discuss the grand opening of the new Black Wall Street in Stonecrest, Georgia. We are moving toward complete separation. The process has begun, and I don't want you to forget that once a month on Tuesdays on Zoom, the Elevated Places Network presents Building Our Own Promised Land, which is hosted and moderated by Sister Donna Muhammad, wherein we feature land acquisition. These are brothers and sisters. Some of them are registered Muslims, some are not. These are Black people who have actually acquired acreage, and they have acquired land where they are farming. they are producing, and some have invested in land for residential purposes or for commercial purposes. But this is a beautiful series that we started this year, and we invite you to that. We'll keep you posted on the next one up at the end of the month. And, of course, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, who hosts every Tuesday night on Elevated Places Network, A Time for Justice. But for now, I want to turn the mic over to the one and only Brother Terrence Muhammad to take us further into tonight's program. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam, Dr. Ava. Once again, it is Thursday night, but before I go any further, I have to do an original salute to you, Dr. Ava, on this Veterans Day, because we know that you are definitely a soldier for Muhammad, and you have been on the battlefield. You have been in many wars with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We know about the New York Post. We know about Madison Square Garden. We know about being the Southern Student Regional Minister. We just so many battles and wars that you have been in, so we just honor you today on Veterans Day and all the many other soldiers of Muhammad that has been at war with this beast and this devil and this open enemy of ours. So we just thank those for those that are in the ranks, that are now on the battlefield, that is out there soldiering today in the highways and the byways. We salute you, soldiers, and we salute all of the soldiers of Muhammad on this Veterans Day. I didn't want to leave that out and, you know, not remember the straight soldiers. So with that being said, we always want to remember the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we want to always lift him up. And as we know that you can go to finalcalldigital.com to read his words in the centerfold and the words of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we want to make sure that you continue to hear and go back and study his words in The Criterion, July 4, 2020. We want to make sure that you hear that. And then this Sunday, you know, you got to go through Friday, though. You got to do Friday at 7:30 p.m. We want to make sure that on Friday that you're back for study group. Go to NOI.org at 7:30 p.m. But on this Sunday, at a mosque or study group near you, the doors will be open. But if you can't make it to a mosque that's not close to you, go to NOI.org, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, and go and watch our Sunday lecture. But if you have a mosque near you, go find out. Go check the doors, knock on them, and go visit Muhammad's mosque across the nation. Will be open this Sunday, the 14th. And then you can come back and hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan speaks Wednesday nights at 7:30 p.m. Also, we want to make sure that you continue to go to MinisterAva.com. Go to MinisterAva.com. You know, the books are still there. The e-books are still there. The hard copies are still there. Some videos and lectures that you can see are still there. And you may want to go check it out quick, fast, and a hurry. So we want to get all the information that we can. Now, let me kind of move fast and get through this because, you know, we, like you said, we want to hear from our special guests. And as I'm doing this, I'm trying to pull up some information, Dr. Ava, because I don't want to forget this. Oh, I'm glad it's right on my phone. The Nubian Leadership Circle, their summit is coming up December the 4th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's Let Us End the Stagnation by Building Our Own Black Nation. The Nubian Leadership Circle. And you want to be there because the keynote speaker is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. That is December the 4th, and that is the Nubian Leadership Circle. You can find them on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Nubian Leadership Circle. And that is their National Leadership Summit, December the 4th, from 10 to 3 p.m. Now, let me finish these last pieces of wonderful information. It is a wonder, Dr. Ava. I love my brother, Dave Chappelle. He's now on tour, and he's dropping it. So if y'all can catch him, it is stirring up some more controversy because one community started going at him, and now I heard through the vape ground, you know, some social media stirring and said, what is his relationship with Minister Farrakhan? So that is starting to come out. So Dave Chappelle is going to handle that as well. And we're going to keep on moving. And Dr. Abe, we all like movies. I just got to say, The Harder They Fall on Netflix, Black Cowboys.
Yes.
Let me just say, it's the beauty of it, Dr. Ava, is not just the movie, but the reality of the real Black Cowboys and Black Cowgirls, sisters back then, and what they did in just the historical context, and that we actually got a film about it, which is very interesting. And keeping on, I'm trying to go through this quick. If you ever seen a picture, and you know how you have a picture, you don't have a word in the dictionary, you have a picture of that word. Well, Kyle Rittenhouse will be there for Crocodile Tears. He has the Crocodile Tears because we know that he killed people way over there on the West Coast. And now he's in court acting like he's having some serious tears. And everybody's like, did we see one tear coming out of his face in the courtroom? And the judge talking about we're going to take a recess for this boy to cut up and act up and get a Grammy Award for his seemingly hurt feelings because you killed our people? Oh, no. Oh, no. Hopefully he won't get a hamburger like Dylann Roof did in Charleston. So we're going to keep watching this case. And it gets even crazy in the courtroom, Dr. Ava, as I wrap up. I saw my brother, Brevin, Dr. William Barber, and our sister, Barbara Arnwine, down in Brunswick, Georgia, down there as they're having a case for Ahmaud Arbery. But the thing that was interesting, I also saw one of the lawyers, I think, defended. One of the lawyers saying he noticed Al Sharpton was sitting with the family. And he literally brought up the issue that because Al Sharpton was sitting with the family, he said, you know, we may be able to handle one person there, but we don't want a whole bunch of black preachers because that may intimidate the jurors. And, you know, you may not intend it on it, may intimidate the jurors that Al Sharpton was sitting in the courtroom at the request of the family. The state said I had nothing to know about it. And the judge said, well, he's not going to set a precedent where people in the public cannot come. And he said, you didn't even notice that he was in there. Nobody knew that he was in there. He was sitting in the back. And he was quiet, and he said, I can't deny them coming into the courtroom if they adhere to all the rules. And as far as I know, he did everything. There was no disruption, and he abided by the laws. And I'm not going to put a limitation on who can come in here as long as they follow the rules of the court. But the fact that this lawyer actually stood up and was going to file a motion to stop more than Al Sharpton or any other black preachers of prominence for coming into a courtroom just to witness the facts of the Ahmaud Arbery's case. This devil, our enemy is the enemy. Make no mistakes about it. So with that being said, there's a lot more, but we want to get right to the show. And back to you, Dr. Ava.
Yes, sir. Well, one thing we don't want to leave out, as you know, we've been there's been a group of us who have been writing and contributing to the we've developed a COVID section in the Final Call newspaper, which I've implored people to listen and read every week to give us in-depth knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of what is going on with COVID and to continue to make sure that the thinking of the publisher of the newspaper, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is conveyed through the way we approach our stories. Well, interestingly enough, this week came to my attention that the controversial Republican Georgia House of Representatives member, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who stays in a lot of hot water in Congress because of her posture on the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine, and the problems with it. She's also been fined for not wearing masks, et cetera. Well,
right.
I'll just give you a little. She went on Twitter this week, and she posted a whole series of articles from none other than the Final Call newspaper. And I'll just give you a little lift from the Rolling Stone, and it says here, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Louis Farrakhan don't exactly see eye to eye on some pretty fundamental issues. Green has described Black Lives Matter as a terrorist threat and has suggested that Muslims don't belong in government. Farrakhan has led the Nation of Islam for decades and spends a fair amount of time talking about the type of white-on-black racism that Green insists doesn't exist. They share a few things in common, though, one of which Green pointed out in a lengthy, and it was, Twitter thread praising Farrakhan's newspaper on Monday. The conspiracy theory promoting Republican from Georgia recently discovered that those who were held in a Washington, D.C. jail housing Capitol rioters are offered a Nation of Islam paper. She name-checks Farrakhan, a prominent anti-Semite, who, as the Southern Poverty Law Center puts it, routinely accuses Jews of manipulating the U.S. government and controlling the levers of world power. Green spent several tweets praising Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam's views on the COVID-19 vaccine, noting that they support the use of ivermectin, they oppose the use of vaccine in children, as well as Farrakhan describing forcing the vaccine on people as a declaration of war. And
that's right.
She's got a photo here of Brother Dr. Wesley Muhammad on one of her tweets. She's got a whole series. You just have to look at them. And all the articles that she cites are those that we have in the COVID section of the Final Call newspaper. She's got photos of myself, Dr. Ridgely, and others. She's got Dr. Ridgely's article, Take Satan Shots or Separate, with a big picture of Joe Biden.
Right.
And it says, this is her tweet, this is how strongly the Nation of Islam opposes Joe Biden's vaccine mandates that force unvaccinated people to lose their jobs. Championing Farrakhan is rather dicey territory for Green. So she takes pains to hedge her praise by clarifying she is strongly opposed to radical Islam. And she did not find any of the Nation of Islam literature in the jail's Patriot wing where Capitol rioters were reading the Bible. Her Twitter on Monday did not address Farrakhan's well-known anti-Semitism. Perhaps this is because this is the other area the two share common ground. Green has a long history of trading in anti-Semitic tropes. She trivialized the Holocaust by repeatedly comparing Democrats to Nazis. She has complained on multiple occasions that Jewish philanthropist George Soros is a Nazi, and even wrote on Facebook that California wildfires were started intentionally by a space laser funded by Jews. So it goes on and on. And I'll end with this. She may seem diametrically opposed to Farrakhan, but when it comes to vaccines, the enemy of her enemy is her friend. She is not going to let a little anti-Semitism get in the way of what she thinks is a point. It may even help her warm up to the Nation of Islam leader. So as they say in the hood, call everybody and tell them we made it. And this is everywhere. This is everywhere. Okay, just wanted to bring that to our attention.
That
so on that note,
is
we want to
major.
Got a lot to get
that's
to.
That's major.
Isn't that something? But that
no, that's
a
major post. That's a
yeah.
major bomb right there. We like and somebody just hit me and I'll text Dr. A, but we winning because when the final call
right.
gets that much coverage, but we put a whole
that's
session
right.
and then boom, talking about the prison, talking man, what when your enemy? Oh my goodness, let me stop. I'm gonna get started.
Oh my goodness. So anyway, let's get back into elevated places. And next up is, as I said, our brilliant attorney who hosts every Tuesday night. And this her program is off the chain, Brother Terrence. It's amazing.
That's right. Yes, it is.
And we got to get a broader platform to make it known. And we thank Allah that we have the Blog Talk archives so that these programs can be maintained. We have a lot of brilliant legal minds in the Nation of Islam, and they come on her program and they tackle some of the most important legal matters that we are facing today. And also they provide practical steps to improve your life and family situation. And we're just happy that she takes the time on Tuesdays and on Thursdays from her busy law practice to come on and help us elevate the people. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Pamela. How are you?
I am fine, Sister Dr. Ava. Wa alaikum salam to you and Brother Terrence, and all praises are due to Allah. Thank you very much for giving us the show a plug. We appreciate you for, you know, helping us to promote and letting us be a part of the Elevated Places Network with the group of attorneys that get to come on and share their thoughts, because we just love it. You know, lawyers, we love to discuss and yes, ma'am. And hearing you and Brother Terrence tonight, you all, Brother Terrence, what you started off with just like, wow, what's going on in the courtroom in Georgia with the yes. trial of the McMichaels who killed our brother Aubrey, Ahmaud Arbery. And, you know, that's one of the things that it's just, you know, we talked on Tuesday about the denial of citizenship rights. We're still looking at Dred Scott, and we're still looking at how black people are not, we don't have rights that are protected under this system or respected under the system. And that's what we even see with the force of the mandates, which is a pure denial of any kind of constitutional rights, citizenship rights. And so, you know, we talked about Dred Scott. But, again, we really looked at the final call, and I believe it was the November 9th article where we had a young brother by the name of Jamarian Robinson who was shot 59 times. And that article really does deserve to be lifted up, you know, because this is such a heinous crime and shooting by the police. And his mom, and this happened in 2016, but his mother, she fought diligently. She held on to make sure that her son was remembered and that the people who shot and killed this young man, that there was some type of bringing accountability. They've been charged. They were indicted. And so then we also went on to talk about this article in the final call called Racist Terror Lynchings and Massacres. And it's very interesting because that article investigates the cumulative effect of how newspaper headlines and editorials incited racist terror and falsely accused black people of crimes in the past. It's a series that the final call, they covered, I think, the author, and I think we all want to look at that article because it uncovers the widespread practice of publishing headlines that accelerated lynchings and massacres and, you know, such using all that, you know, false and incendiary or whatever you call it, really radical terminology to make people hate black people and make people suspect black people of crimes that they didn't commit. And we see that now, you know, using terms such as brutes and otherwise. So when we look at this this Ahmaud Arbery case, I think it's interesting what you said, how we see this defense attorney just blatantly saying, no, somebody can't come in a courtroom, which is so radical and racist. Even hearing his tape recording about this, calling our brother Ahmaud Arbery, this is McMichaels actually being on record saying he's a shady looking fella. You know, there were actually the elimination of 11 out of 12 of the black people who could have been on that jury were eliminated, you know, with excuses that were really just uncovered, you know, being covered for racism. So, you know, we just see the racial tension being just really unfolded in this country. Another thing I just wanted to mention real fast is this issue with this Rittenhouse. And I think this Rittenhouse trial is very interesting as well, because not only do we see there was a juror who actually made some racist joke about how, you know, dead black people are only kind he really wants, you know, those type of jokes. But also, when we look at this young man being tried, this killer, this, you know, we know he killed the people. Well, you see how the system treats white people, and they definitely don't treat black people the same. And specifically, you got all this talk about this mistrial, and watching the judge. Sister Ava, I don't know if you saw this judge, but he just went off. I've never seen that type of anger. It was just amazing to see the judge react. But he reacted on the prosecutor. One of the things was because the prosecutor brought out some evidence or wanted to talk about how Rittenhouse in the past had threatened to shoot shoplifters with an AK-47. And so the judge and Rittenhouse and lawyers, they were just up in arms, like, no, you cannot bring forth that kind of testimony. But, you know, this type of stuff we see with Michael Brown, you know, this kind of stuff you always see with black all the time, you know, this extraneous, uncharged conduct that is always just thrown and put out, you know, about them. And that's not even what they're charged with. So, you know, this, again, is just giving us the understanding and some of the evidence of how this system does not work in the interest of black people and the citizenship rights. And Sister Ava, I really believe even with the mandates, we're seeing a denial of citizenship rights when people are saying you don't have the right to, you know, protect your own body, the sanctity of your own body and what goes into it, and you should be mandated, as well as the fact that freedom of speech. What about freedom of speech? Where is that at? So we're just seeing the lack of citizenships and denials that even with the 13th Amendment and slavery, which really has never ended for us, you know, these are the type of things that we're seeing in some of these cases being demonstrated. So I just, you know, this is what we had a wonderful conversation. So on Tuesday, and I would encourage anybody to listen, because we got a really great show next Tuesday. I can't wait to send out the information on who's going to be on our show. So thank you again for the time, and assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. No, thank you for your time and your insight. And as you see, these are some final tests for us as a people. You know, there's just a certain point in time when you have to say we're done. We're not going to sit through any more of these cases, because they actually, especially the way you just described this case, it's deteriorating. We're going backward in our quest to get justice. You know, for this, I haven't heard any actual audio or video of the case, but I just seeing that judge's picture, you know, he is classic, for lack of a better term, redneck. You know, he looks like he would put on the pointed cap at night. And to have a jury with one black person on it in a lynching case where a young black man was lynched on a Sunday morning, had his life taken because he was enjoying life. That was his crime.
Come on.
This is the type of contempt, you know, that they have for us. So for them to even be able to get away, and then to say too many black people are going to frighten the jurors, this type of stuff, when they are the ones that have been killing us from day one.
Yes, ma'am.
From the time they kidnapped us off the shores of West Africa, they have terrorized, raped, and murdered us, and yet they profess fear. I don't know how much more our people are going to attempt to take. The minister said separation or death. Yes, ma'am.
Sister Ava, real quick, and it is really that judge in the Rittenhouse case that he really is obviously looking like a Klan. And just to add into what Brother Terrence said, not only did the defense attorney, because he's the one who's saying that Al Sharpton and we don't want any black pastors and don't want to scare, he also said it would be as if we had a white person dressed up like Uncle Sanders or Colonel Sanders coming to the court. He said something like, how would that be? Can you believe that? This is what the defense attorney for the McMichaels or the Brian, one of those defendants, said. So, yes, ma'am. It's amazing.
Wow.
It's amazing.
It is. It's utterly appalling. And we just need to pack up and go. and we're just about there. We're just about there.
Yes.
So
yes,
at
ma'am.
This point in our program, we're going to I'm going to turn the mic back over to you, Brother Terrence, to bring on, even though he's a guest, he's our brother and friend, and he's here to help us to pay tribute to a lost soldier.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You know, it's you know, you gave a wonderful, beautiful words at the beginning of the show, and I echo those words because, you know, in this work, always a blessing when we can, you know, vibe together with the believers and we can work cheerfully. And one of the pictures that I hold dear is what me and my brother, we were both on our phones with our heads down smiling because we was working in Newark, New Jersey at one of the events that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was at. And, you know, we always work, and we're both there. You know, I have my reason for getting to the venue early, and he's getting to the venue at the same time early to make sure we set up so he can propagate the faith for all of the things from the final call and just pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, being on the road all across the country, helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And if people don't remember, he was there when the minister sent those 90,000 final calls to Detroit as a gift in honor of our sister Aretha Franklin. He was there when they came off the truck, and he was there until that last final call was put into our people's hand, and also was in L.A. When we laid to rest our brother. Why did his name just leave my mind? But as we laid our brother on the West Coast, Nipsey Hussle. And, you know, I'm saying all these things. These are some recent things. But this brother, just like you, Dr. Ava, being in this mission, being with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in the mission, and is in his own right. And he is a student minister that can teach this word and always letting us know what's out there and what's there. And I just wanted to bring this brother on. His heart is a loving heart. He loved the believers, and he wants to come and share a part of the testimonies of our fallen brothers in the latest edition of The Final Call, our brother, Brother Damon Muhammad, who is also a good friend of mine. He's a martial artist and our teacher, Grandmaster Abdulaziz, and he's also a lover of hip-hop, as you all may know I am also. So we want to welcome to the show, like I said, not a guest, but our family, Brother Abdul Rasul Muhammad, to your show, Dr. Ava. As-salamu alaykum, brother.
Wa alaykum salam, beautiful man. And how are you, Brother Terrence Muhammad, sir?
Oh, I am definitely great by the grace of Allah.
I pray that my sound is coming through clear. I pray that you can hear very, very well. I want to start off by, firstly, Brother Terrence, I want to thank this beautiful female voice that we hear on the other end of this line, who's a warrior in every respect of the word itself. I thank Allah for you, sister and student minister and doctor and a sister who I consider a very dear friend of mine, Sister Ava Muhammad. I want to congratulate you on 10 years, a whole decade on Elevated Places, raising the conscious level of our people, and most of all, helping to spread the life-saving and life-giving, mind-altering message of our Eternal Father, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that is being spoon-fed to our people without fail by the most beautiful man that I've ever met personally in my life, in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So I am not just honored. I'm kind of overwhelmed. I'm shaking almost. I'm nervous. I feel so blessed to be a part of this program tonight, and I want to thank you, and I want to thank you again, Brother Terrence, and thank all of those who are listening near and far for giving me the honor of having a moment on your platform to talk about one of the most beautiful brothers that I've ever known personally, and that is our dear brother, Damon Muhammad. All praise is due to Allah.
Forever and ever. Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, sir.
Brother, Sister Ava, I would like to say something if I could. I'm a little off script, but I think it's going to segue us right into.
Oh, you take your time.
I'm so happy to be on the show. I swear I'm so happy to be on the show. But I want to tell you, Sister Ava, why I love you so much. And I've loved you before I met you personally here in Chicago, Illinois. I was blessed to land in the city on November the 17th, 1992, by Allah's grace and mercy at the blessed request and invitation of our beloved, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and of course my life has never, ever been the same. I was blessed by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan once again to come to the engine of our nation in January of 1993 as his general manager, and for that I could never thank Allah enough. It's like the dream that just won't stop taking place in my life. It's one of the biggest things that I've ever been blessed to do. One of the most honored responsibilities that a man could have in this world, and I strive not to take it lightly, but let me go right to the point. As a baby Muslim in Baltimore, Maryland, I was blessed to hear this divine teaching in March/April of 1989. And I say March/April because I know it was the spring of 1989 because I was in college in the spring of 89 when this took place. And I was on the campus, and I was watching some beautiful men of a fraternity called the Omega Psi Phi Fraternity. I didn't know anything about fraternities, sororities. I didn't know anything about anything. I was a straight-up poor little brother from the hells of Baltimore, Maryland, born and bred, and I didn't know much about anything. And there I was on the campus of Coppin State Community College, and I saw these beautiful men. They were, you know, muscle-bound, built, had on fatigues, and they were marching and drilling and doing these all of these exercises. And one day I got the courage, and I walked up to one of the brothers, and I said, excuse me, and I asked, you know, what is this? And he told me, man, this is the Omega Psi Phi. This is the Q-Dogs. And I said, wow. He said, you want to learn more about it? And I said, yes, sir, I'd like to learn more. And he invited me to a meeting. He said, come to this secret meeting we're going to have in the library after class. And I said, okay, I'll be there. And I went to this meeting, and it was a great meeting. And after the meeting, the brother told us we would have the baddest line that Coppin State had ever produced. I was 5'3", and there was a brother who was about 6'9" or 6'10". And he said, you're going to be the tallest brother online, and you're going to be the shortest brother online, and this is going to be the baddest line that Coppin State has ever produced. And I said, man, okay. And I walked away, and he said, are you interested? And I said, yes, sir. And as God is my witness, I won't exaggerate. I won't make up anything. It's just beneath me I walked to my car. I was managing at the time a pick and pay shoe store in a part of Maryland called Gaithersburg, Maryland. It was about an hour and a half drive each way. And I had just been blessed to get my first car because I had been managing since I was in high school. And one of the in the 11th grade, and one of the conditions when I graduated, the general district manager, named, his name was David Brower Anchor. I'll never forget him, a Caucasian. He came to the store, and the manager who had trained me, he was the first one who taught me how to work long, extended hours. His name is Wade Coates. And the district manager came to the store, and he said, Fontaine, at that time, he said, you graduated, huh? And I said, yes, sir. He said, I have an offer for you. And I said, yes, sir. He said, would you like to become a manager? And I said, man, I would love it. And he said, okay, well, Wade is going to go to this new store. We were in Baltimore in the inner city, and we were going to go and redo a store that was falling apart in Gaithersburg. And that's what Wade was known for, reproducing fallen stores and bringing them back to life. And he said, one of the conditions is he'll pick you up every morning. He'll take you to work. He'll bring you home. But in 6 months, you have to have your own car. And I said, yes. Long story short, 6 months came. I was blessed. I had my first vehicle. It was a brand-new 1988 Chevrolet Spectrum, four-door, baby blue. And y'all already know, Sister Ava, I was in heaven. And I walked away from the brother on the campus. And as I walked in my car, I got in my car by myself, and I turned on the vehicle. And for the very first time, I heard the voice of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Now, as a gift from God to me, I have a kind of a photographic memory, and I'm not exaggerating. There's certain things that I can remember as though they're happening in real time. It may have happened 30 years ago, 40 years ago. I have some memories of when I was 5 years of age and one or two when I was even younger. It's just I'm not exaggerating. It's just something that I have. And so when I got in this car, I turned it on. I heard the minister's voice. Dr. Ava and Brother Terrence, I cannot tell you one single word that our beloved said. The next thing that I remember in the experience is me saying out loud, God Almighty, who is this? And as the words came out of my mouth, the announcer came over the radio, who I later found out was my beloved brother, mentor in the ministry, my first teacher, Minister Jamil Muhammad, came across the radio and he said, Minister Louis Farrakhan comes to Baltimore via satellite. Come to 3013 West North Avenue and get your ticket right now. It was as though it was a command directly from the Lord of the worlds himself. Now, Coppin State is in the 2700 block of West North Avenue, and they told me to come to 3013 West North Avenue. As God is my witness, I took off, and I went to the tape connection. I crossed the street. I went inside. The beautiful brother who was in there at the time, his name was Robert, and I walked in, and I said, excuse me, sir. I said, may I meet Minister Louis Farrakhan? And he said, oh, brother, the minister's not here right now. He said, but that's a picture of him right there on the wall. And I turned around and I looked at the minister's picture for the very first time. And I'm standing there looking at this man. And I said, literally in my mind, I said, good God Almighty, this man is beautiful. And I'm just standing there drinking in the minister. And then he had audio tapes and videotapes. I'm in the mosque, but it's the tape connection. It was a little storefront, but it was our little mosque at the time. And I said, sir, I said, do you have tickets to see Minister Farrakhan? He said, yes. I said, how much? He said, $10. May I buy one? He said, yes. I purchased my ticket. I said, you sell these? He said, yes. I said, may I purchase one? He said, yes. I said, well, which one would you suggest? And he gave me my first audio tape for $10 entitled Diamonds Among Men. As Allah is my witness, I got in my car. I had an hour and a half drive to get to Pick and Pay Shoe Store. And by that time I got to Gaithersburg, Maryland, my life was altogether different. I can't even explain what had happened to me, but by the time I got there, I was a whole nother person, and things just began to change. So I would come to the tape connection every couple of days and buy audio tapes. I was like a junkie. I was just on that message. I couldn't stop. One day I was coming, and Brother Al Muhammad, who was the first officer at the time, was standing on the stairs on a Monday night, and he said, brother, he said, man, what you doing tonight? Would you be my VIP guest? And I said, yes, sir. I said, what is it? And he said, it's a men's class. He said, it starts at 7:30. Can you be here at 7 and be my special guest? And I said, yes, sir. I'd be honored to be your guest. And I came, my first FOI class, and by Allah's grace, I never looked back, went through the process. And in Baltimore, we didn't have what you would consider a traditional processing class. We worked from the moment we hit the door until I got my, wrote my Savior's letter, got my ex, and recited, and went through all of the steps. But the long story short, getting to you, Sister Minister, one day we're in the mosque, I can't tell you what lecture you were teaching on. I can't tell you none of that. But these are the words that you made plain. It was dealing with the fact that it was a last-minute call, and somebody was kind of not prepared. And you were teaching in the lecture, and you were saying if you are a student of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you should be able to be awakened out of your sleep and have something to give to our people from these teachings. Don't tell me you're not prepared. Well, that stuck in my mind. It stuck in my soul. I've never forgotten it, Sister Ava. I've treasured you from the moment I heard you speak those words, and I've watched you, and I've admired you, and I've loved you, and I've looked up to you, and I thank Allah for you for every sacrifice that you have made, as Brother Terrence laid out, the New York Post and Madison Square Garden and the first female regional representative of the South in the history of our great Nation of Islam, and the list goes on and on, from the study guides and helping our beloved minister at the final call in the early days of rebuilding. And it continues here on November the 11th, 2021. And so you are a legend walking among us. I thank Allah for you. And again, I thank Allah for you sharing your platform with your baby brother tonight. And I pray that I will not disappoint you, Brother Terrence, or anyone listening from anywhere throughout America or anywhere throughout the world, because this is what I live for, and that is to aid the man that rescued me from a literal pit of hell and gave me life. And that man is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so to him, I give all that I can, knowing that in serving him and pleasing him, I'm pleasing our God, Master Farah Muhammad, and his messenger Messiah, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And for that, that's how I sleep well at night. So all praise is due to Allah. I'll stop right there.
Oh, that's a beautiful testimony, beautiful, beautiful narrative.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, indeed.
I know you aroused in all of us our gratitude. You know, sometimes we need to be reminded of how blessed we are. And none of us are just here. There are no coincidences.
No, ma'am.
Because we serve a God. He possesses power over all things. So as we're taught, everything is a result of either his active will or his permissive will. But
don't let
the temptation make us believe things just happen, because they don't.
And that's
beautiful, Brother Rasul, beautiful.
Praise be to Allah.
You know, Brother Damon.
Yes.
And, of course, both my husband and I knew him and admired him. And it's painful because he was a young brother to me at 48 years old. And I want to say to the listeners, before you share a little bit about him,
ma'am.
I want to personally thank you on behalf of the Executive Council, because you kept us up to date during his final stages of life and when he was hospitalized. And you gave comfort to his wife, Sister Jasmine. And you didn't just give us these little curt, abbreviated messages. You really gave us an understanding of what was happening. And there was a point where it seemed he was rallying, like he might come through this. But I remember Minister Farrakhan teaching one time that Allah does that. When oftentimes when someone is returning to him and we don't know, none of us know how we're going to leave here. We know we all will. That's guaranteed. But the physical entity will leave this earth. But there are times when he'll allow a person to experience a moment of a small victory of coming back. And it comforts the family. When that happens, it actually helps ultimately in the transition, because instead of it being just this steep decline, it gives you a moment
Yes, indeed.
Emotional,
I bear witness.
You know, in psychological, you know?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
And
I bear witness, Sister Ava.
Yes,
indeed. I bear witness.
And I do, too. It happened with both my parents. It happened.
Wow.
But,
may Allah be pleased with them both.
Thank you, sir.
Mm.
And
yes,
of course, Brother Damon was a superb student in the martial arts and trained
yes,
with Grandmaster
Duarte.
Oh,
yes,
Lord.
Was.
And he was on Student Minister Ismail Muhammad's escort security detail as well.
Yes, he was.
But I just wanted to thank you openly on the air. And I just want to say to the listeners, Brother Abdul Rasul does that. He's a very sensitive person, very more than one might imagine. And if you follow him on his Facebook page and watch and listen to him, he's very, very conscientious of
That's
his
right.
surroundings and the you know, carrying out, if he feels Minister Farrakhan might want something to happen.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's
he's,
it.
He's
that's it. We own it.
Right, Brother Terrence? You know,
I bear double witness on that. Whatever he wants, we going after it.
That's
we
it.
Gonna, y'all, you're going to make it happen. And he's a doer. You know, this is a man
That's
that gets
right.
on trucks and trains and planes and cars and walks and does whatever he has to do to go from point A to point B. And those final call newspapers at the passing of the Queen, Aretha
yes.
Franklin, our sister, the Queen, and then the passing and the tragic loss of Brother Nipsey Hussle. That's Brother Fontaine at the core of making sure those final call newspapers got to, and our people appreciated those special editions.
They did. Yes, they did.
They
yes, they did.
Appreciated that.
Whew.
So I just
yes,
had
they
to
did.
Mention that. And
Dr. Ava, I just have to say, when you said and get any trucks and planes and go, that is true. But when you said he walks literally miles and miles in a city going and delivering and talking and walking and talking with the Nipsey Hussle back and forth. Matter of fact, taking the words from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to calm the crowd down
yes, sir.
On the day of his funeral, just because there was so many and they were just intense. And he took the words that the minister gave and walked up and down that crowd. And by him sharing the words of the minister and the spirit, calming the crowd, but actually walking and doing that work. So I had to bear witness to that. I've seen that many, many, many times with my own eyes. But I know we want to hear about Brother Damon.
Look, y'all got me sitting here with literal chill bumps up and down my body. And I just want to say this. I was blessed to be in the company of our beloved minister this past Saturday. And, you know, the minister was dealing with a point off camera, if you will. But he was making it plain that there's nothing in the human being that allows us or makes room for us to accept praise. He said the moment that you receive praise, immediately turn it back and say all praise is due
praise.
To Allah. For every
yes.
bit of praise that you receive, it belongs to him. And even when you receive it, he said give it right back to him, for without him you wouldn't have the skill or the gift or the talent or
Ooh.
The will to do whatever it is that you do. So all praise is due to Allah. And as Sister Ava said a minute ago, I'm one of them sensitive brothers, and I'm doing my literal best not to break out crying as I'm on a telephone, because I'm deeply grateful. You know, being a member of the Nation of Islam means everything to me, because without this wisdom, without this teaching, without my minister finding me, in that spring of 1989, I don't think I would even be alive, not just spiritually, mentally, morally, emotionally. I would probably be 6 feet deep in a grave somewhere, because that's the life that we were living. And although I was not a bad person, if you will, I wasn't out there selling drugs, I wasn't killing, I wasn't in a gang, I wasn't any of that, but I was in those streets. I grew up in those streets. I've seen more than I can share. And Baltimore prepares you in a very special way. If you're from Baltimore, Maryland, you know exactly what I'm talking about. In order to survive in those streets, you have to have a certain spirit, a certain warlike mentality, and you have to be willing to stand up for whatever it is that you're standing up on. And so Islam found me. It rescued me. And so when I was blessed to do that piece, Brother Terrence, just a little bit of what you said for Nipsey Hussle, it had nothing to do with little brother Fontaine at the time. It was so beautiful. I can actually say the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan may have taught me in that experience. I was in California for maybe 10 days, and I think our beloved may have taught me at least 15 or 20 principles for life that I will never, ever forget. He did so much to me. He did so much with me. He guided me. He allowed me to serve, but he guided every single step that I took. And when it came to the end day, imagine this, and we'll get right on to my beautiful brother. Imagine this. One day, I'm in the suite with our beloved, and we had run out of Final Call newspapers. The airline had started playing with the papers. We would get it. We got the first 50,000. By Allah's grace, we gifted them to our people. It was an extremely serious piece out there in Los Angeles, and I was talking to our beloved several times a day, and he granted me a blessing to receive another 50,000, and they came in, and then the airlines started maneuvering. So there were seven planes that were delivering seven pallets of papers. Most of them were 7,200. The last of them was 6,200, and they were starting the heavy weight. And so they were on different planes, and so this plane would get delayed, and this plane got almost lost in the air, and the papers couldn't be found. And, oh, man, Satan was so upset. So the father called me over to his suite one morning, and so as we were talking and he was giving guidance, as we were about to leave the suite, the minister says this to me. He said, brother, he said, you don't have your papers, right? I said, no, sir, dear minister. We're expecting them hopefully in the next few hours. The enemy is holding up our papers. And the minister said, well, brother, do you feel naked without your shield? And I had to process what our beloved had just said to me, and I said, naked without your shield? He said, yeah. He said, the final call is like your shield. He said, but now you don't have your shield. He said, do you feel naked as you out there among your people? And I couldn't answer, so he said, no, brother. He said, you still have the word, don't you? I said, yes, sir. He said, no, brother, don't stop. He said, go among your people. Be a balm for your people. Be a healing for your people. Share with them the word that you have and bring them comfort in the moment of great trial and loss. He said, go among your people. I said, yes, sir. Now, I was starting to feel just exactly what the father said, because you're out there with tens of thousands of people at this memorial site, which we call Ground Zero, but now you don't have the word to put into their hand. This is a gift of love from your beloved, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, a gift of love and comfort for you, brother, gift of love and comfort for you, sister. And, man, our people were out there. Give me two. Give me three. They were overwhelming. So as the minister laid that on my mind, as I'm saying, yes, sir, I walk away, and the minister turns to me, and he said, you're not afraid of your people, are you? And I said, oh, no, sir, dear minister. He said, all right. Now, this is the messenger of God. This is the third most important being in the entire universe in my mind. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So when he speaks, I know that God and the messenger, the Messiah, are speaking through him. There's no misunderstanding in my heart, mind, and soul. So this is what he lays on me. A couple of papers come. We continue to do our work. We're out there day and night. So here we are on the day of the memorial for our brother Nipsey Hussle. And we had an additional almost 40,000 papers because our beloved allowed us to order another 50,000. So we were out there with 150,000 papers. And so we were at the memorial. We gifted, we gifted till we had nothing left in our possession. And at the end of the day, we coming back, I was on autopilot. I couldn't stop. I go right back to Ground Zero, even though we didn't have any papers. We had done the work in that way, but I'm on autopilot with the messenger's words in my ear. Once he says something to me, I don't know how to do nothing else but what he said to me. I can't control it. I can't help it. I can't make it up. It's just happening. So I'm on my way to ground zero. Me and two brothers, brother Sherman out of L.A. and brother, oh boy, I'll get his name in just a moment. He was so instrumental in everything that we did, brother Lemuel. And so we're driving back. Long story short, we get out of the vehicle, and people are it's a stampede going on the streets. And they were running. They were pushing. People was getting knocked down. I saw one girl, literally her pants were almost tore off, the kneecaps. And, man, people, it was just a mess going on. So I thought the people had actually started fighting and that they were at a point. I picked up the phone immediately, and I called the minister. And I said, dear minister, I said, fights are breaking out up here at Ground Zero. And then the minister said these words to me. He said, brother, he said, will you do something for me? I said, yes, sir. He said, go to the police. No, before he said, go to the police and ask the police, can you borrow their bullhorn? And go to our people and tell them that the minister is asking, will they please maintain the peace in the name of our brother Nipsey Hussle? He said, will you do that? I said, yes, sir, dear minister. And then an explosion, boom, boom, boom. And the police were out there. It was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of police, full riot gear, the whole nine yards. So I thought they had started shooting tear gas. So I said, dear minister, they're shooting tear gas. And he said, oh, brother, if it's gotten like that, you leave. I said, yes, sir. But again, I'm on autopilot. So I go straight to the police. And I walk up to the first police, and I said, excuse me, sir. I said, may I please borrow your bullhorn? I said, I just was blessed to speak to Minister Louis Farrakhan, and he has a message for our people. I said, may I borrow your bullhorn? So he pulled his coat back, and he said, well, I really don't. He said, I don't have a bullhorn. That's my radio that you're listening to. He said, but I'll do this for you. He said, I'll put you on a helicopter, and you can talk to the people. Now, Sister Ava and Brother Terrence, imagine I'm standing there, and I said, well, wait a minute. The minister didn't tell me to get on no helicopter. I said, okay, what's happening? Because the mind is moving 24 billion miles a second. So I said, well, wait a minute. If I get on the helicopter, man, I could get killed on a helicopter. I said, that ain't what the minister told me. So as I'm standing there, this beautiful brother who is a police liaison, black man, beautiful brother, walks down, and he has a brother with him. I can't make this up. The brother had a sign called Love is the Key, and he had a bullhorn around his arm. And the brother brought him to me and said, he has a bullhorn. And I said, brother, I told him what the minister wanted. I said, may I borrow your bullhorn? He said, of course you can. He took it off, and I immediately just started walking. But as I started walking, as I lost my witness, I said in my mind, I said, I wonder does the minister realize that it's maybe 30, 40, 50,000 people out here. How am I going to reach them with this bullhorn? But I just started walking, and I started talking. Brothers and sisters, may I have your attention, please? I was just blessed to speak to your brother and your friend, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and he has a message directly for you. Are you listening? And they said, yes, sir. And I said, the Honorable Brother Minister Louis Farrakhan is asking if you would please maintain the peace in the name of our brother Nipsey Hussle. We can't afford to lose another one of our brothers and sisters out here in this senseless violence. Will you do that? And people just started saying, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Black, brown, red, yellow, white, as God is my witness. I'm 5'3" with a little bullhorn. And I start walking. And I walk and I walk and I walk up and down. It got so serious to where the police, they had no control. I had, by God's grace, in the name of our beloved, our God and our Messiah, all of the control. So the police started asking me, Mr. Muhammad, can you please ask the people to come off the rooftops, because the people had climbed up on the roofs. They were about to cave in buildings and all type of stuff. And I was, come up, brothers and sisters, come on now. You can't be on the roof like that. The minister's asking us to maintain peace. You've got to come down, please. The hearse can't even come through. The procession won't be able to continue if you stay on top of that roof. Can you please come down? Sister Ava, as God is my witness, they came down off the rooftops. It got so quiet out there that at a point, Brother Wesley, by Allah's grace, our beautiful brother, ended up doing a piece. And he talked about, and he could hear the news reporter in the background saying, what happened down there? It got so quiet, you can hear a pin drop. Is it grief? Is it sadness? No, it wasn't grief, and it wasn't sadness. It was the divine word of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan coming through your little brother with a bullhorn. And I walked that bad boy for miles and miles and miles and miles. a few weeks later, we were on a plane together. I'm blessed to be with our beloved minister, and I'm blessed to be seated beside him on this plane ride, and we began to talk about the moment. And I said, dear minister, I said, I heard what you said, and I did what you said. I said, but I was wondering, did you realize that it was so many thousands of people out there? And he said, yes, I realized it. I don't even realize and still didn't realize that the minister was sitting in the hotel suite watching me. I'm on international news. I'm all over the world. I have no clue of what's happening. I'm just doing what he told me to do. There's news cameras from all over the world, and the minister's actually watching me as I'm walking up and down this street with these 30, 40, 50,000 people. And then the minister said these words to me, and I ended right here. So then I said, dear minister, I said, I think I probably walked close to a marathon. That's how many miles I walked. It got so deep. I said, the police asked me would I lead the procession because I had to keep the peace. So you see student regional minister Abdul Malik Saeed Muhammad and the mighty FOY with their hands on the hearse and leading that procession. But your little brother was in front with the bullhorn keeping the way open in order for that hearse to come down, to go this way for miles to get through those brothers and sisters at Ground Zero who wanted to pay respect to a literal beautiful legend of ours, Brother Nipsey Hussle. And by Allah's grace, as I was explaining it to the minister, he said, yeah, brother. He said, I knew. And he said, well, brother, all of those, and I had been trained, blessed to run marathons since 2004, only because the minister guided me to do it. And so the minister said to me, all of those years of marathon training, brother, prepared you for this very moment. All of those years prepared you for that very moment in time. I said, yes, sir, dear minister. And so I stand before you right now on this line as an honored servant, as a brother who knows that I'm a little old wretch and I'm honored to be used. I'm honored to be put in a position to serve. And I never try to get it confused that since I'm blessed to serve as the final call general manager, I have some power, if you will. I try to always remember that I'm your servant. You're not mine. I'm your servant. And so as a brother who's blessed to have a position of leadership in our great nation, I strive to handle all of the believers with the care that they deserve. The little man in every city and town, when I see them, oh, man, we hug pre-pandemic. And I mean we hug and we love one another. And they, you know, they, man, it's an honor to meet you. No, brother, it's my honor to meet you. It's my honor to shake your hand. It's my honor to hug you. It's my honor to be in your company. And so I'm honored to be on the show once again. I'll shut down right there. Again, I'm so happy right now. I just don't even know how to express how happy I really am. And so I'll stop right there, thanking Allah for the time in L.A., the time with Aretha Franklin, the time with DMX, by Allah's grace. Our Father sent 10,000 complimentary gift editions for DMX in the midst of a pandemic. I was blessed to be there with the mighty men of New York City and made that happen for our beloved minister. And just a wonderful life, you know, full of pain, as we know. We all are in pain as we're growing and striving, but I wouldn't change a thing. I thank Allah for every experience that I have had since I've been in this nation. And inshallah, March/April 2022 will mark my 33rd year, and all praise is due to Allah for every single moment of this journey.
Yes, sir. I think today so, may be on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So I'm look, Sister Ava, you know I'm a student in the ministry with you, so you know how we are. You know we're a little long.
Yes, sir. And I do want to note for those who may not have yet, and I don't think that's very many people on this show, but we want to make sure we have our final call newspaper, and there's a beautiful feature story about Brother Damon. And then,
yes.
The heading is the quote from you, Brother Abdul Rasul, that he had the spirit of 10 men, very handsome,
yes.
Brother, and his wife of 17 years, sister,
yes.
Jasmine was by his side. But
yes.
I, again, Brother Abdul Rasul really kept us close by and informed throughout the the phase of this transition. I do want to note that we've opened the line because Brother Abdul Arif,
yeah.
our general counsel, who's former, who did serve as editor of the Final Call newspaper as well,
yes.
Is on
yes.
the line joining us.
I want to
make sure his line is open in case you wanted to weigh in, Brother
yes.
Abdul Arif Muhammad, on this subject tonight of this tribute to Brother Damon. Brother Arif, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you all hear me?
Yes,
yes
sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, yeah, let me know because I'm on earphone, so I couldn't. First of all, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. Assalamu alaikum.
I'm
so thankful as I was listening, Sister Minister Ava, to you and then to my brother Abdul Rasul Muhammad. And for me, knowing him as I do, we're both brothers from Baltimore. I'm
yes.
a little older than he is. Right, I'm affectionately known as the Baltimore OG.
That's right.
In the Nation of Islam.
That's right. That's
and
a fact.
Our brother Naba is from Baltimore. You know, we
yes,
got a
right.
few of us around.
Yeah.
In this mission, but as I listen to him, Sister Minister Ava, and as well as I listen to you, you know, Brother Damon, I didn't know him personally. I certainly knew him as a believer. I knew him more as Brother Abdul Rasul's aide and helper.
Yes,
he was like his, to coin a term, ride or die man.
Yes,
two
indeed.
Of them
that's right.
did everything together, and he was always
my
there
God.
By Brother Rasul's side and was always available, yeah. even when he wasn't at the final call anymore. If he
that's right.
was called upon, he was there.
Yes,
and,
sir.
You know, is, you know, the most difficult thing in life to really form is friendships. You know, they're very, you know, we have a lot of associations, but forming friendships with people, which only really comes from the interaction that we share from the mission and the work.
Yes.
That we're called to by Allah God. Hence, I call you, Sister Minister Ava, my friend, because of the long-standing relationship of work that we've done together in
yes.
the name of
yes,
Allah
sir.
On behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And it's the same with my little brother, Rasul. I remember him when he left Baltimore to come to
yes.
Chicago well before me as a little baby in his 20s.
Yes, sir.
To start being the general manager of the Final Call. How old were you then, brother? 20 what?
By Allah's grace, I got to Chicago. I was 24 and got to the Final Call,
yeah.
24 years and 10 months of age.
So, you know, as I was looking at him, and here he is decades later there, and as I was listening to him and really listening to you as well, Sister Minister Ewan, I began to think, you know, we are taught to not think more of ourselves than we ought to.
Yes.
Because all praise belongs to Allah. But I also was taught this as well. Each of us have been given gifts by Allah that he gives to us that if we discover what we were born to do. And we are taught that normally it's usually what you love doing is a sign of what you were born to do. And mm-hmm. Allah gives gifts to the messenger as helpers. So each of us that have gifts and talents that God has given to us, we turn those gifts into service to serve him. And that's the joy of what we do.
Yes.
In the service of the cause of Allah, to serve the servant of God. But make no mistake about it, when I look at a brother like Brother Abdul Rasul, for me, he was a man born to do just what he's doing. in terms of the final call and general manager. I ought to know because I served as not only the editor of the Final Call newspaper, I also served as the general manager.
Yes,
so I
indeed.
Actually served in both capacities.
Yes, sir.
And boy, you learned what it is to run what the minister calls the engine, of our nation, that final call.
Yes.
Because it propagates the word of Allah in a distillable form to the people, propagate by giving the visual word of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to the people. It's like
yes.
you, Sister Minister Ava, what you do that we watch you doing, that you love doing, is what you were born to do.
No question.
That God gave you those gifts to do what you're doing, no different than myself. I remember, Sister Ava, when you and I were working on the case, the $4.4 billion lawsuit, and we both were interviewing with Brother Minister Jibril, and he was talking about how Allah fashions you and shapes you for what you may never know what that is for until the time or the event or the circumstance arises. Then you realize,
right.
Oh, that's what all of this was for. Do you see what I mean? That's all this, what I thought hell that I was going through or difficulties
yeah.
that I was going through, or ups and downs and disappointments and some good times, but man, you begin to see it. So I was just thinking as I was listening to you all, just the joy of God in choosing us. And I remember Brother Jibril saying to us one time, you have to see yourself as chosen as well.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Allah God chooses the Messiah, the messenger, but he also chooses you as well. So see yourself as one of the chosen. But of course, as the Imam Elijah Muhammad said, you know, you can't step through the earth, nor can you equal yourself up to the mountain. So learn your place in the Creator's nation and act accordingly.
Oh,
and that
yes.
requires deeds and actions and not words and lip service. So, yes, know your place in creation and be know your place with the rest of the creatures, in other words. But
yes,
he did say, whenever I'm looking at the black man, I'm looking at God. Now, we are the more that we do this, and those of us that stay in this process, the process that we're in is to make us a God, not the God, not the supreme being, but a God,
yes.
meaning the master, an aspect of what has been given to us. But the joy, as I listen to Brother Rasul, I listen to you, Sister Ava, to know brothers and sisters and to see the gifts being expressed in the way of God in service to the Messiah is some of the greatest thing that could be done. I'm
Absolutely.
Reminded last Savior's Day when we had the virtual thing and the executive council was speaking, and I just simply said that amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I never would have thought a young black boy from the ghettos of Baltimore would one
yes.
day say he worked for Jesus. He worked for Jesus.
Yes. Hello.
You know what I mean?
Come on.
How would I know that I would ever have met him, much less say I worked for him, and as the Christians have
yes,
a song,
sir.
Call him up. I can literally call him up.
Yeah.
I know what you want.
Oh,
come
boy,
on now.
And talk to him.
Man, beautiful.
So I know the heart of Brother Rasul, and I watched his brother with him everywhere they would go.
Yeah.
And, you know, he served his nation, and that's all any of us can do. Whatever our faults may be, whatever our stumbles may be, whatever our challenges in life would be, we should always be grateful to one who has given service in the cause of Allah and count
yes.
them among the martyrs.
Yes.
So I thank you for this opportunity to share a few words. It was just, as I listened to you all, this just came up in me that I wanted to share in the conversation. So thank you.
Man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Brother.
Hey, Sister Ava.
And Brother Rasul, I beat you to the tears. I just beat you to the tears.
Hey, T, I'm literally sitting here, you know, when they say you get chill bumps, but you can get soaking wet. And I'm literally sitting here, my shirt is wet, I'm literally soaking wet because I'm so thankful to be on this line with you, with this beloved sister, student minister, Ava Muhammad, the student national spokesperson for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and a sister, again, who I call my friend. And to hear now from Abdul Arif Muhammad, many don't know how much me and my family love, respect, and adore him because he did so much for me and my dear wife, who I work 18, 19, 20 hours a day. But it was this beautiful brother who opened up and reopened the door for me as I was blessed at the time when he came to be serving in customer service. And that was an honor for me as well. Like, just imagine, I first came to the entity and learned the entity from January 1993 to January 2000 from the top down as general manager. And I went through a tremendous trial, a tremendous fall, if you will. And I'm never one to play games and mince words. I'm as dead serious about my Islam as I can possibly be. And this will segue me, inshallah, into Brother Damon. And so as I was blessed by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to return to our beloved entity on December the 2nd, 2002, it was Brother Dwayne Muhammad who was blessed to be serving as general manager at that time. And the entity was going through a very tough period, and it was Sister Paula, now Sister Nasira, who said to Brother Dwayne, you need to call Brother Fontaine because he knows this entity and he's willing to help, and you should give him a call, and he did. And I came as customer service manager, and I was still blessed to propagate the faith, which is what I live, breathe, and just that's my whole reason for living, is to spread this message in my heart, mind, and soul. And so that went for nearly 6 years until Brother Abdul Arif Muhammad came in the year 2007, I believe. And
it was
Brother
December Arif, 2006, actually.
December 2006, all praise is due to Allah.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point, as he was learning, again, both editor-in-chief and general manager, he allowed me to aid him and to assist him. And at a certain point, without me having any understanding of what was happening, we were in a general meeting, and Brother Abdul Arif Muhammad blessed me, called me up, and he blessed me to become his deputy in the entity. And it was one of the most unbelievable moments of my life. I was beyond grateful. I'm beyond grateful now. I'll never forget it. A day in my life. And when Brother Arif, at a certain point, his health became a challenge for him, and Brother Arif had to go to New York City to get some health care and to rejuvenate and regroup and get his life back on track, I was blessed to be named the interim general manager in March of 2009. And then our beloved, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, blessed me maybe a year or so thereafter to become the general manager once again, and blessed me with even more responsibility than I had in 1993 to 2000. And so I'm one of those brothers who knows that Islam has been everything to him, that God is the God of a first chance, a second chance, a third chance, and he gives us opportunities in spite of ourselves. And I want to thank you, Brother Abdul Arif Muhammad, for honoring me, looking after my wife, looking after the little believers who did the best that we could under your leadership in that entity. I'll never forget you, beloved. I'll never, ever take the friendship, the brotherhood, the relationship, the camaraderie for granted. And I'm so honored to be in that position, doing what I love to do. And it's an honor to be on the show with you, and it's an honor to be with my sister Ava. It's an honor to be with Brother Terrence, who loved Brother Damon as well. And
That's right.
It happened, when we lost our brother, and I was sending out text messages to the believers, and I put it up with his wife's permission. Sister Jasmine was so gracious to me, and I asked her, beloved, would you allow me, do you mind if I would say a few words to the believers? This is before we lost our brother. I said, you know, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. I said, and with your blessing, I'd like to share, you know, what's happening with our brother, because he's loved by many, many, many people. And she said, sure, you can, absolutely. And with her blessing, I did. And when we lost our brother, Brother Terrence called me immediately. He was in tears and I was in tears. And we began to talk about the beauty of our brother who we both loved and hip hop and what he meant to us. And man, it's just a blessing to be on the line to talk about this beautiful brother. And I just want to say for him, for Brother Damon, for his dear wife, Sister Jasmine, his dear daughter, Sister Naisha Muhammad, I told his baby girl, you know, your father was love. He was a beautiful man. He was an honorable man. He was a kind man. He was a giving man. And I said, we're going to lean on that today. And she said, yes, sir. And when I finished my little remarks, by Allah's grace and mercy, old dear Sister Naisha came up. And she spoke on behalf of her father, and she was so mature, so beautiful, so sincere, so loving, so, I mean, she said, I wouldn't want no other father but my father. I love my daddy.
So
and she
beautiful.
Laid it out. It was the most beautiful janazah to see the love that flowed for Brother Damon. And let me say this, if I could. Brother Arif knows this. If he talked about the engine, and I talked about it at his janazah, Brother Damon was one of those who accepted the philosophy that I had been taught by Brother Larry Muhammad. And that was simply that a real FOI doesn't sleep more than 3 to 4 hours a day. And I said at the janazah, I'm not saying that's the best, but that's how I was taught. That's how I live. That's how I live right now. And because of what Brother Larry Muhammad blessed me and showed me, I can work for Muhammad 18, 19, 20 hours. I can go. When I got to Chicago, Brother Larry had taught me the 18 to 20, and it was student regional minister Abdul Sharif Muhammad who taught me how to work 2 and 3 days in a row. And I will not lie, I can't take that from Sharif. He taught me how to stay awake and working 2 and 3 days in a row. Sometimes when you would get so tired, you doggone there, fell out standing post with him and things of that nature. But Damon accepted it, and he was with me through thick. He was with me through thin, by Allah's grace and mercy. He was customer service management for a nice period of time. He was inventory management. He did whatever the final call needed. And, you know, as a young brother, all I knew and all I know is the final call. So as an immature brother, I would say back when he left us, because he was with us, he left around 2013 or so. And the reason he actually left the final call was not due to any real reason other than the fact that he fell in love with martial arts. He had already loved it. But then when he got with Abdulaziz Muhammad and the VSK family, he found something that he had been looking for. And when it came to Savior's Day and they were doing exhibitions and so forth, all I was focused on was, brother, we got to propagate the faith. And the final call work was an 18 to 20 hour work. And Sister Ava, you know that because you in the vending area. You down there propagating, so you know how intense that reality is.
Yeah.
And at a point, Brother Damon kept asking, come on, brother, can I please have a few hours? And so I would say, okay, Brother Damon. So I would let him go 3 or 4 hours, and he would go do the demonstrations. But it became more serious for him over time. And then our brother was blessed to take it on. He got up in belts. And then he went to a security company was called Prudential. And he took on that position, and he got to Thornship Township High School. And he became very well-known, loved, and respected. He was able to maintain and take care of his family. But most importantly, he was able to dedicate time to the dojo. And he trained children. He trained adults. He was a joy. He was a beautiful brother. And Brother Terrence, I'll say this part. I said when KRS-One, and Big Daddy Kane did the verses. Brother Damon was still
right.
Among us, right? I said, my
yes,
God. Right. I said, now, him and Terrence probably both are as loony as they can be right now. I know you was as crazy as you could be watching it. And I said, if Brother Damon was able to be among us up and moving, he would have had on his Kango. He would have had on the big rim glasses. He would have had on a sweatsuit
definitely.
And probably some Adidas. And he would have been in heaven because that's what he truly enjoyed. But I'll remember Brother Damon more than anything else. That brother was a driving master. Me and him could drive sometimes 13, 14, 15 hours, just me and him. I was in one car. He would be in another car. We never had accidents. The brother was consistent. He was unselfish. He was giving. He had a tremendous sense of humor for those who knew him. He could crack the dozens with the best of them. and I wasn't any good at that, at what I admired him for that. And so I'm trying my best not to get sad as we talk about a beautiful brother who we have lost, but a brother whose life we will remember and cherish and carry on his memory, that all of them who knew him and loved him will put the respect on the name Brother Damon Muhammad. And Brother Arf alluded to it a little earlier. We go through stumbles. We go through situations. I want to close that point by saying I was blessed again on the line with our editor-in-chief, Brother Nabi Muhammad, on Tuesday. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan blessed me with a very early morning call. I'd been at the press through the night, and we're on a new press schedule and being blessed. And I was out there from roughly 8:15 p.m. till about 5 a.m. that morning. And when our beloved woke up that morning and got to his reading place, he saw the latest edition of the final call. He was overwhelmed with joy and pleasure, and he called me, and man, we got on the line together, and man, it was one of the best calls, of course, of my life. And then we clicked in Brother Nava, and as the father began to talk about the beauty of the paper, he got to the portion of Brother Damon, and he said, "Oh, my brother Damon Muhammad," he said, "we lost a beautiful brother." He says, "and when we see a believer going through situations," he said, "we shouldn't just see the situation. We should find that believer, find out what's going on that believer, give that believer the counsel, the care. Man, give them a hug. Go talk to them. Find out what's going on so we can bring them from one state to a better state. That's our duty. That is what we are here for, to serve the little believer. I don't care what the situation is. It is our duty to serve the little believer, and it can be him today and me tomorrow. We're not perfect in this way, but we're striving. And so I thank Allah for the best of what my brother did, because he did work that will live long and long and long into the future. He propagated the faith all over America, all over the world. And so I say long live the spirit of Brother Damon Durrell Muhammad, a beautiful soldier, a beautiful teacher, a beautiful friend, a brother that I trusted with my life, literally. I slept on we slept in the same room. We ate together. We did everything together. And for those who don't know, in closing, you know, he cut his own hair. And most people would never know it because his hair, as you can see on his obit, was immaculate. And he did his own mustache. He was just, oh, boy, he was just a masterful, beautiful brother. And he thought he was one of the best-dressed FOI in the entire Nation of Islam, and you couldn't tell him no different. And so long live the spirit of Brother Damon Muhammad and Sister Ava and Brother Terrence and Brother Arif. I know it's 8:30, and I believe you have another guest. I want to thank you all for giving me this opportunity. I thank you from the depth of my heart.
Thank you, sir. And what we're going to do is we're going to present the New Black Wall Street opening on next Thursday. This is a major thing to celebrate as well.
Beautiful.
Moving toward our this process of separation is rapidly taking real form and shape in the third dimension. But I do want to get one or two of the callers.
Absolutely.
Have been waiting to weigh in.
Yeah.
And so we got about 20 minutes left. So let's go to the phones and take
ma'am.
A couple of calls. We're gonna
ma'am.
Start with Sister Lisa. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Lisa.
Walaikum salam. Walaikum salam. I don't know if I should say my question for next week because it's a little bit down under. I want to go to Australia. So I don't know if I should wait until next week because I'm just enjoying the program. He's given us something that we couldn't even imagine, that he was on the ground doing what the minister was telling him to do and the minister was watching him. I mean, this is just so magnificent. That we can get an idea of what was, and
come
I mean,
on,
I was right there when he was talking. He took me right there. I was in the moment. I mean, I felt it.
Yes.
I saw it. I could feel it. And Nipsey, God, he was number one in my heart. Chappelle, number one in my heart. I mean, you can just go on and on and on. The pitches, final call
what
is this paper. We need the final call. I'm telling you. I mean, final call. If you don't want to take the shot, take the final call. That's a
That's
shot right,
right
there. It's
That's
like
right.
It's a healing bomb. Come on. I love the final call. Now, I love the final call.
Oh,
now, my brother, I mean, he's given us, and the way the minister has given us these final calls, I mean, it's okay with digital, but I want to feel it. I want to feel
yes.
the paper. I want to be able to turn it.
Me too.
Listen to this.
I'm old school.
I'm old school. Now, but listen to this. My papers become my books. They become papers where I put them aside and I stack
That's
them.
Right.
I have them in certain places where I could just go and reach them. I just don't have them just one final call. I got final
That's
calls
right.
put out throughout my house where I could just reach for them at any given time. I mean, I just love the final call. Come on. I'm a final call spokesperson. So
yes.
I'm telling my down yes, and under call. I just want to say, Sister Ava, I mean, I can't believe I've been listening to you for 10 years.
Ten years?
Come on. Where is the time going? And then I said to myself,
it's flying.
Everybody has turned to, we have turned to leave. We're in November, December. We only got a few more people going to have a birthday before we have a whole new year coming at us. I said to myself,
Look
well,
at
where
it.
Is the time going? Look at that. Look at that, Sister Ava.
Allah's in a hurry to take
for,
this world out.
Yes. And I'm telling you, it's just rambling. I mean, come on, the final call. We could talk final call all night long because that is the vapor right there. You can't go nowhere without the final call. You know, and I said to the
That's
brother,
right.
I said, brother, I can show you all
people.
How to sell that paper out there. I said, you gotta sell the paper with the red light. When the red and the green, you got to know how to get out there. I just love the final call. But Sister Ava, my question is, where is my brother Reuben at? Do I have to go down to Australia and look him up? Because the brother's been missing in action. We really need to know where he is. What's happening with our brother? We need to find out.
I know. I'm trying to find out myself.
And it's going into
so,
a whole new,
Brother Terrence,
whole new
have you
year.
Any updates?
You
know,
we will make sure we get an update for them. We'll bring that back on the next show.
All right. We'll have it next
week. I appreciate it. Thank
we'll
you.
Definitely do that for
you. Thank you for taking my call. Thank you. All praise
to
God.
Really
to Allah because
that place on lockdown. But yes, ma'am, we'll report on Brother Reuben's status next week.
Thank you so much, beloved. Thank you all so much.
Ma'am.
And
thank
your panel. Thank you for every week.
Yes, ma'am. All right, beloved. Oh, that was a great call.
Yes, indeed.
That was the cheerleading session for the final call.
Allahu Akbar.
That's right. Allahu Akbar. Yes.
God is so
okay,
merciful.
We have Brother Mark is on, and he has a question and a comment. Got to get him in here. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Mark.
Well, alaikum salam, Sister Dr. Ava, Big Black Terrence.
Yes, sir.
The Mark.
Praise be to Allah. I forgot the question because I was listening to Brother Rasul, whose name means the messenger, his testimony. And it just touched me so much, brother. It just shows what Islam is when we practice the right brotherhood and the sisterhood that we have, the love that you have for Brother Damon. You know,
yes,
I mean, all praise is due to Allah. May Allah be pleased with our brothers, you know, Brother Damon. But just
yes,
love,
sir.
Brother.
Yes.
And you follow the instructions of the minister. And like the sister was saying, the minister watching you on TV, and you know you're not knowing that you're being watched, but you're doing
yes,
the job,
sir.
Brother.
Look at that.
You know, hands off of you, man. That final call that you push so hard, brother, that we're supposed to push so hard, that gets sins off of us, brothers and sisters.
Yes, sir.
Well, it gets my sins off.
I bear witness.
Off, hopefully.
I bear witness. I
you know?
Bear witness, sir. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah.
Praise be to Allah. And Sister Ava, congratulations on 10 years, you know.
Thank you,
elevating
sir.
Our people's minds, elevating our
it.
Minds.
Yes.
You know, I mean, praise be to Allah. Everybody's in the place they're supposed to be at, basically doing what they're supposed to be in this day and time. And
Yes,
Brother
sir.
Brother Rasul,
yes,
brother, you're working 18 to 20 hours a day, getting 3 hours of sleep. You a bad man, brother. All
Allah
to Allah.
Striving hard. Driving hard.
Yes, ma'am.
Praise be to
yes,
Allah.
But
thank you
Abel,
so much, beloved.
I wanted to say, yes, sir. I'm sorry, but I didn't mean to be talking while you were talking. Please forgive me.
No, yes. Brother. Go right ahead.
Yes, Sister Ava.
Yes, sir.
That trial with Avery down here in Georgia. Dan, Avery,
yes.
Well, Aubrey Abrams. I can't think of the brother's name right now. But
Ahmaud Arbery.
Yes, ma'am. White folks are showing themselves right in our face.
Hey, say it. That's
they are
right.
Showing themselves. But it makes me
that's
feel
right.
So good that those, to me, are good white folks in the sense where you're not going to make the most honorable Elijah Muhammad or the honorable Louis Farrakhan a lie. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad told our people over 90 years ago that the white man was the devil. But we
yes.
don't want to accept that.
Yes.
And now we're
that's
saying,
right.
I mean, 11 white jurors. On a case and it's just 12 jurors and one is black, and then Al Sharpton and the white man say we don't need no preachers down here. What more do we need? They're putting their foot in our back cloud anyway on a physical level.
They really
what
are.
More do we need, Sister Ava? Here they doing it right in
that's
our
right.
face, and none of our leadership is saying nothing. Where's Biden at? Since he's supposed to love black folks so much, where's Kamala Harris at? They're not saying anything about what these devils are doing down here, these crackers are doing down here in Georgia, and really all over
that's
America.
Right.
But when you see that on a jury, 11 white folks and one black person, they're telling you, hey, we're going to get this man, we're going to get our people off one way or other.
Exactly.
And we won't accept it. We're not standing up, Sister Ava. And the only way out for us as a people is the life guarantees of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad being given to us by the honorable Louis Farrakhan. Any other way,
that's
there's
right.
no way out. So we're running into a brick wall. You're voting all the time. You're marching all the time. It's still the same. Nothing changed. Our only way out is separation or death. May everybody have a blessed day. Thank you. And once
death.
Again,
that's
congratulations
right.
for 10 years of your beautiful show, Sister Ava. And
yes.
Brother Rasul, man, you a man's man and a brother's
Allahu
brother.
Allahu Akbar.
Brother Terrence,
thank you for your kindness,
Black
brother.
Terrence,
yes, sir.
Black Terrence.
Yes, sir.
Look here, I know where you at last weekend. At the GO, the greatest homecoming on earth. Y'all ain't that no more, brother. Y'all playing white folks, bro. Go ahead on with that. I love you, man. Don't let
on elevated places.
That's why this is the place to be on Thursday.
Yes, indeed.
All day.
nothing like black people
no.
who are strong
Beautiful.
And believe in the reality of God. The reality
yes.
of God.
That's right.
Yes.
All praise is due to Allah. We have Brother Rasul. We have a young
yes,
brother
ma'am.
That calls in. Brother Kareem Muhammad, he's out in the
yes.
Northwest Territory of the United States, and he always brings us very succinct and to the point wisdom. And I
wow.
saw him on here. I'm just trying to get to hear. Here he is.
Yes.
I wanted you to be able to hear.
I'd love to hear.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother
yes.
Kareem.
Walaikum salam.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fine, sir.
I just want to start off by commemorating our fallen brother and thanking
yes,
everyone on this call for all of their hard work in the Nation of Islam.
Hmm.
Praise be to you. Thank you.
This is our reality. We are going up against a very powerful, by Allah's will, people. And this isn't no movie where everyone survives, and America survives, and the world survives. this is the real deal.
Yes.
This isn't something where you got a green screen with a bunch of superhero costumes. This is real life.
Yes, sir.
So we can't treat it like it's a game because the enemy is not treating it like it's a game. Allah came in the of Master Farad Muhammad to bring us the truth.
Yes.
And we have the power compared to what we have given to us by Allah. They're weak. They rely on their man-made mechanical objects, which can be delayed by a storm that our God provides. Not no mystery that they made us believe there was. As-salamu
alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
As he drops the mic.
Beautiful. Wow. Beautiful.
He's a student at MUI. He's,
my goodness.
This is the future.
Beautiful.
This is the,
yes,
this
indeed.
Is the taste of the future.
Future's bright. Yeah. Future's bright.
That's right. This is not a game.
Not at all.
And whatever they've got, they don't have anything that can touch what we've got.
No, ma'am.
And
praise
it's about
be
to be
Allah.
Made known. Yes, sir. So we've got Brother Daryl, who's been holding for quite some time. Brother
yes.
Daryl, assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, beloved. I'm going to first thank Allah for blessing you with your 10th year. And prayers go out to Brother Damon and his family. May Allah be pleased with him. And our beloved brother, Rasul, I thank Allah for you.
Thank Allah for you, sir.
I really enjoy your testimony. And what really touched me is your obedience to Allah through his servant, Minister Farrakhan.
Praise
you
be
took
to Allah.
His words, when they couldn't give you a bullhorn at the time, but he, this beast going to say he could get you a flight on the helicopter, and if you would have been so geeked to get on that helicopter, you would have missed your blessing
by
not being obedient. And when you said, I could get killed on this helicopter,
come on.
I gave you the, you know, quick, fast thinking right
reality.
Down the modern time. You was, yes. Very obedient. So Allah bless you.
Yes,
and the minister were watching you all alone. So
Allah,
I thank Allah
that's amazing,
for your obedience, brother. And that's a good testimony to us to be obedient to the man of God.
Sir.
When he give us order, we carry it out and don't let Satan geek us up with his madness. And you could have easily jumped on it because I'm going to be on a helicopter.
Yes,
you sit, no sir.
Yeah.
You know, and I thank Allah for your beautiful words. And
praise
Brother Terrence, I couldn't
Allah.
Say to know better about how much we love Sister Ava. She may know and she don't know because she's humble, but she's very, very loved. And
yes,
that's
her
calling too. Is defending the minister, and I thank you, Sister Ava. I love you and your family. I wanted to let you know we lost Barbara Rose Collins, the congresswoman.
Yes, your wife told me. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes.
And
may Allah be pleased
so
with
you. Yes.
Hold on.
I was just. Pardon me?
Who did you just say?
Barbara, I'm sorry, Barbara Rose, Barbara Rose, the congresswoman that was.
Oh, okay. You know, when you said I thought I was in a fire rose saying that it was totally different. That's I'm sorry. It just scared me when you said it. I was thinking somebody else. So I apologize.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir. And I also, you know, when Brother Rasu was speaking about how Allah be pleased with your family, and I pray Allah is pleased with my mother, even though she was touched by Master Farah Muhammad. And when we felt that she was doing better, and as Allah was preparing her, my mother was saying to my sister in her last words that she was talking to Master Farah Muhammad, and he told her he was working on her. So when we heard it, I just knew he was going to bless us with some more time with her, but he was preparing her for himself.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Thank
you.
Yeah. Our other brother, Rasu, that comfort our family in the words that he spoke highly of my mother. So if he's listening, that I want to thank him. And I thank you all for this show, and it just helps me to stay motivated. And I love you all, and may Allah continue to bless you all. As-salamu alaykum.
Love you as well, sir. Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Wow.
Wow.
And Sister Ava, that was very, very powerful. I didn't even think about what he said about the helicopter because, and something that Brother Arf said, he said all praise belongs to Allah. So if our ego said, well, yeah, this would have been right. Let me get in the helicopter, get above these people and talk to them and calm them down. That's not our way. Because we've seen the minister time, and, you know, he likes kind of being where he's amongst the people versus elevated above, looking all that, you know.
And I'm saying that because
he wants us to be amongst the people, and in the highways and the byways, not in the air. We're not in there. We're in the highways and the byways. And so when they saw him walking through the people, you know what I'm saying? So that's very significant. How many people would have turned down the helicopter? Oh, wow, that makes sense. Let's get in the helicopter. Where's the helicopter? Let's go. You know what I'm saying? Well, but that's not what the minister.
It's the Satan of self.
Right.
Pulling you into disobedience with earthly desires.
Yeah,
that would have distracted a lot of people. A lot of people would have been sufficiently distracted from what they were doing.
My God,
and
I wouldn't
have seen who it was.
On the ground,
right? And they couldn't have seen the brother. They wouldn't have known who was speaking from the helicopter. Who is that?
Oh no! It would have negated everything that.
Yeah.
His teacher wanted done.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And you know,
exactly.
And I'm listening to this conversation, and I was reminded some notes I was looking at earlier today when Minister Farrakhan spoke to the student ministers earlier this year, and he said everything in my life should be a lesson.
Yes.
Speaking of himself. And then he said, put the word in the ear of the people. Bring them to life. Be what you preach.
Allah.
And here our brother is testifying to a lifelong experience that he calls like a never-ending dream.
Yeah.
You know, to be
exactly.
in this position, you know, that, and he says, never rob God of praise.
Never
rob him of the praise he is due.
Absolutely.
Live the life and pay the price of redemption.
Woo!
Qualify to pass the test. You must exhibit a required degree of ability. I did not put myself in this seat, and you must earn a seat.
Ooh.
Be careful of your obedience.
Teach. My goodness. Beautiful. Wow.
And that's amazing because here our brother is bearing witness to that. And as Brother Ara said earlier, you know, we're not here, you know, as we talked about earlier, there are no coincidences in Islam.
No,
nothing
man.
Just
no, man.
Happens. And so how can we say the scientist saw the minister
come on
25,000 years ago?
Come on
right,
now.
And how can we say that Master Fard Muhammad was actively involved
come on
in
now.
His birth?
Come on.
And his early years of development.
Come on, every step
and
of the
yet,
way.
Every step. Then how is it that we're just here? We're just some random
nope.
individual.
Nope.
That doesn't
you
make
said
sense.
It. You said it, beloved.
How would Allah take the care?
Oh.
And this has been coming beautiful. Since the beginning of time.
Ooh,
because
wee.
This is
beautiful.
Allah's own journey to perfection.
Yes, it
that,
is.
That we're a part of.
Yes.
I mean, I look at,
Allahu
I always
Akbar.
Ask believers, what's the mathematical probability that we would be here in a
come
66
on.
Trillion year period?
Think about that one.
God.
Think about that. No accident.
I mean, I can't even recall what I was doing 66 days ago.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's a beautiful day
so
to be alive. 66
years, 66 centuries, 66,000 years, 66
come on.
Million years.
Come on.
66 trillion.
Come on.
66 trillion years ago.
Mm-mm-mm.
One of our ancestors Ooh. Blew this planet apart.
Teach.
And
teach.
The God withdrew. And then our parents underwent the suffering that they underwent. And that was the price of atonement. That was the price of
my
redemption.
God. My God.
Because the minister
beautiful.
Said we were reduced so low
Ooh.
That we cried out for him.
My God.
That's why
thank Allah
prayed.
He answered. Come on. Thank you, Allah.
He answered. He didn't just
come on.
Show up. We had to call for him. We begged him. After all
Allahu
of that
Akbar.
Arrogance that we displayed, we finally reached the point where we wanted him. And we were willing to submit finally. And we're being purged. Right now. And so to hear, you know, we're regular people, but we're extraordinary people.
Come on. All praise
at the same
to Allah.
And, you know, Brother Harper bear witness, the minister tells us, I want you to look for the God in each other.
Mm.
And he is there.
My God.
I'll bear witness.
He is there.
Beautiful
now, in some
teaching.
Of us, he's harder to find than in others.
Come on. Come on now. Teach. Teach hard. Come
this
on.
This is real.
Yes.
This is real.
Yes.
But he's there.
Yes.
There's not one of us. God is not in it. And so all that, you brought all that out of me, Brother Rasul, in that
I thank Allah
narrative
for you.
About
I
the helicopter.
I thank Allah for you. Yes, ma'am. It was so
a helicopter. Woo!
Yeah, it was so
I mean,
real.
So many
it,
people
you know,
would have just
so
jumped
real.
On that thing.
Man, I couldn't even imagine.
You said,
I couldn't
no,
move.
I
could
be,
no,
no,
I could think of, that ain't, I said, that ain't what the minister told me to do. That's all I could think of.
Look
I said,
at that.
How could they hear me in a helicopter? I said, am I going to be on a, what am I going to hold the thing in my hand and be talking? I'm like, that don't make sense. And as I'm thinking, like, no, I'm not going to move like that. The next thing I know, that liaison
say,
walked up. His brother was right there. Yes.
That's right.
Allahu
Akbar. Well, Dr. Abel, we at that time.
It's time
man.
To
we
go.
Had
I,
time.
I want to thank
Abel,
brother student minister, Abdul Rasul Muhammad. I want
thank
to thank
you.
our executive producer, Sister Rona Muhammad, our general counsel, student minister, Abdul Arif Muhammad, my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, all
yes,
of
sir.
You who called in. You have been marvelous, and we look forward to hearing Brother Louis Ali Muhammad and those who were involved in this incredible, amazing experience, the grand opening of the new Black Wall Street in Stonecrest, Georgia. We're getting it all.
Yes.
And may Allah bless us all with love and the light of understanding. Assalamu alaikum.
Wow.
Wa alaikum salam.